DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
Music. And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
This is Ben Bateman. I'm here to talk about some brews. I'm real excited.
This is the official modern podcast of RocketJump.com. We got some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, first and foremost. If you guys, you've been interacting with us, which is really cool. You can find us at the MMCast. I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
I'm at Kess Wiley.
And this episode is a Patreon episode. We have a Patreon. You guys have been donating to it. It's very cool.
One of the cool things you get for Patreon, probably like the two really cool things are, one of them is you get to submit decks, and we'll do deck doctors around once a month. And this is that one of those episodes.
So we'll do some of your decks and some of our decks. And then also, if you donate $50 a month, there's a swag box where we send you guys items that are like branded Masters of Modern stuff.
Yeah, we're about to send out actually for last month. So that would be the month of, it's August now.
Yeah.
So the month of July.
And we have this really special item where
you're
going to
get a second playmat. This will be the second playmat we send out, but this one's a way sweeter.
So this is what's going on, guys. We have been talking about on the podcast for a little while about this collaboration with DMTW.com, DMTW Clothing.
And then the commercial part in the beginning, and was probably the commercial part of this episode.
And these dudes have a lifestyle brand. They're some friends of ours now. We've been working with them diligently over the last few months preparing some things. What we have to announce today is the very first collaboration product between the MMCast and DMTW. And it is a playmat. It's a super sweet playmat. And so what we did, guys, is we made 25 of them. There are 25. It's got Kessler and I playing Magic in like a sweet, like skyline, high-rise, super cool apartment.
Yeah.
Looking all dapper or trying to. I've got like a, I don't have a tie, but Kessler's doing his like country club or better thing.
I have a tie.
Do you have a tie?
Yeah, I'm looking at my tie right now.
Okay.
It matches my suit. It's gray.
Yeah, they're pretty cool playmats, guys. So the deal was that we made 25. We numbered them. They're each signed by us. And this is the first run. This is going to be like the very first official Masters of Modern collab product with
DMTW. If you are not currently a Patreon subscriber, can actually go buy these online right now.
But the first, however, seven or eight of them that I think that's how many people do the swag box currently, are going directly to our swag box Patreon members.
They'll be labeled number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yes. And these folks who have been supporting us do not have to get in line. They will be shipped this playmat exclusively before they go on sale, which means in this first run, and we probably will make more, but when we make more, we won't be numbering them. This first run, there should be something like 16 or 17 of these things that are for sale. As soon as you hear this, on this podcast, we will tweet with the link that these are for sale, and that's it. That's signed and numbered, the very first product release. This is all that there's going to be. So you guys on the Patreon, you are rewarded with the first ones, and after that, it's going to be the first 17 people to get them. So we'll see if we'll see how quickly they go, and it should be pretty cool.
So beyond the deck doctor, we actually have one other thing we're talking about today.
Yes.
It's from the Vault Lore that was spoiled this morning.
Lure.
I spelled it L-U-R-E. I think it's the Pokemon Go.
I was like out of it. And I was like, what's from the Vault? And he's like, Lure. I was like, the card? The old card where all creatures have
it's
to
like
block?
Like a fish. Like you go fishing and you throw in the water and then fish find it.
For those of you that don't remember, Kessler mispronounces all words. So,
and misspells them.
Yeah.
Like if you ever interact with us on Twitter and something is misspelled, it's 99% of the time me.
How you could pronounce lore as lure, I'm not sure, but he did it.
They're exact. It's not. I didn't just hear a difference. I didn't hear a difference with what you just said.
It's an O. There's not two O's. It's not
lure. And lore. Which one would I say first?
You're colorblind, but with words.
Yeah, I'll go with that. So talking about it. So first off, my first main comment, and really it's a complaint before we get into how sweet it is that I'm going to have a foil GTA, is that there's really zero actual modern playable cards in this. The closest is maybe Tolaria West, which hasn't seen play since.
She's playing all decks that Kessler and Bane.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tolaria West, but in reality, none of these cards are really plants for modern. In fact, the two cards they printed that are actually worth anything are both banned in modern currently.
Yes.
Being GTA and Dark Depths.
Yeah. People play Memnarch occasionally.
Never. Beseech the Queen is a card that no one plays in modern. It's interesting that's also the start of the article. Is like, this is a card that
Beseech the Queen was like barely playable and limited when it came out. Like it was like
it's a commander staple, ish.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good commander card.
I mean, look, I play Highlander Roulette, which means like you have to use everything, and I've even barely used Beseech the Queen in Highlander. Like,
sure.
You know, that card's just, I guess Commander because of the lands.
I mean, one thing that is cool about the set, and like it made me kind of come back on it, because value-wise, it's there. GTN Dark Depths foils are like worth buying a From the Vault set for. And then, but if you kind of go through it, every single card in it from Innistrad Original all the way back till Tempest, there's a card from every set. So you start with Hell Vault.
That's a gem.
Then you go into Glissa the Traitor.
Actually, a genuinely pretty sweet card. I like Glissa. It's underplayed, like, but I mean, it's not really playable in Modern because it's a 3/3. But that card is sweet. This was in the standard.
You then walk right into your favorite card.
Yeah,
Near Death Experience.
The fact that there's going to be like an alternate art Near Death is like pretty epic.
It's
like,
the same art.
Well, okay, it's like an alternate
foiling process. Yeah,
I already have a Korean foil Near Death Experience that I play in my deck, so I don't know.
For those who don't know, Ben has an actual Near Death Experience deck, but it's Highlander.
It's Highlander. Yeah. It's really sweet. It's got a lot.
Trying
of good
to make it work. From that point, you go into our good friend Mr. Conflux.
Yeah, Conflux is a card
which is
seen some Legacy play before.
Because you can like you cheat it in.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what. Now, what's the enchantment that lets you cast anything?
Omniscience.
Omniscience kind of replaced it. Beseech the Queen from Lore Wind Block. You walk right up into Dark Depths.
Yep.
Classic, oldie buddy goodie.
Real good.
Except in Modern, where it's banned.
Are you trying to go chronologically right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Dark Depths is before Conflux. Dark Depths is originally from Cold Snap.
Yeah, but Cold Snap was between Lore Wind and...
Nope.
Yes.
Definitely not.
I will bet you $100.
That Cold Snap was between Lore Wind and something?
Lorwyn and Charge Lara Block.
You want to bet me $100?
I'll bet you $100 that it was not between Shadows of Lara Block and Zendikar.
You just bet. So
I'll bet you $100, which you just said, is that Dark Depths is before Conflux on this list, which is incorrect. Dark Depths did not come between Shadows of Lara Block and Zendikar Block.
No, you skipped it. You skipped.
No, it goes Zendikar Block, M10.
I realize this, but that card is from Cold Snap. Cold Snap was released between, I think, Planar Chaos and Time Spiral, or directly after Time Spiral, which is before Lorwyn.
Sure, but I'm working backwards.
You're working backwards?
Yeah, so I just did Zendikar with Near Death Experience.
Okay.
Then I did Conflux, which is part of the set Conflux, which is the middle set of Shards of Alara Block,
okay,
which is immediately before Zendikar.
Sure.
And then you said, wait, you missed Dark Depths.
Oh, because you were going backwards.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
Ben's tired. Yeah. Can I have my $100?
No.
So what's next?
So the next block is Lorwyn Block.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is Beseech the Queen. We talked about that.
Excellent.
Then it's
Dark Depths. Then there's something from Times Row Block, which is Teleria West.
Teleria West.
Right.
Then it's not Innistrad.
Ravnica,
which is Momir Vig.
Yeah,
commander card. Which I get that as a reprint. That makes sense to me. He's never going to be reprinted. This is the place to do it.
GTA is after that.
Also, GTA and Dark Depths make sense to me here because neither of them are good for limited.
Yeah.
Because one is a completely unplayable limited card, which is fine. That happens sometimes, so I could see Dark Depths being reprinted. But then GTA is just a insane card that should never be in a limited format.
Never.
So, like, I get why GTA is in this. That makes complete sense
to
me.
So then Mindslaver would be next?
No.
Memnarch. Sorry, yeah,
Memnarch. Kind of Mindslaver.
That's
Mindslavery.
Why when I said Memnarch, I meant Mindslaver. I have tried to build infinite mana decks with Pili Pala and Grand Architect that play that card.
That's one of the best things you can do with infinite mana.
Yeah.
Especially if it's artifacty and blue.
Steal all of the things.
Yeah. And then this is where I lose kind of my ability, so I'm going to leave it on to you.
So let's see.
My guess is I think the next one is Cabal Ritual.
So the next
you got
to go back to Onslaught Block is the next block.
Yeah, so
Onslaught, Legion, Scourge.
So Mind's Desire? Is Storm
yes,
and
Yes, that is. Yes, okay. Scourge. Scourge is Mind's Desire.
Yep, Mind's Desire. Then you go to
Odyssey Block.
Obliterate?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, then I think it's Cabal Therapy for
that's
Masks?
That's Torment.
Mask Block?
Cabal Therapy is originally from Torment.
Sorry, Cabal Ritual.
Cabal Ritual is
Threshold,
from
yeah.
Torment.
Torment, which is the next set.
Constantly Discourage, Odyssey, Judgment, Torment.
Yeah, so and then you just go into Masks, which is...
He's doubled up. No. So Obliterate is a card from Invasion Block.
Oh, backwards. Okay.
Yeah, because Obliterate's the one with... You can destroy five things or something?
All things are wrecked.
It's at the H-drop?
All artifacts, all spells,
costs
all...
Costs like 10 or something? It's a red card?
Yeah. It costs 8 mana, Obliterate can't be countered, destroy all artifacts, creatures, and lands.
Is Decimate the one that's like destroy an enchantment, an artifact, a land, and a...
Everything gets down a tenth, for whatever that means.
No.
Yeah, that's what's cool about Decimate, because Decimate literally means a tenth. You lose a tenth of yourself. So you mill X amount, like a tenth of cards. I think it's 6 cards. You discard X amount of cards.
Are you talking Decimate or Web? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's just like a card Decimate.
What's the heck's the card I'm thinking of?
I have no idea, but okay.
No, Decimate. Decimate. This card. Decimate is destroy target artifact, target creature, target enchantment, and target land, which you have to have all the targets, which is why it's...
Well, maybe I was talking about Decimate or Web.
Yes, you were. Okay, sweet. So anyway, jumping
they're both
back.
Cards I'm never going
to
play.
Obliterate, yeah, and I was mixing it up. So we got to Cabal Ritual, which is, that's from Torment. Before that, you go into Obliterate, which is... And then before that, you go into Masked, which should be the card Unmask, I think, right?
Which is like Force of Will, Thoughtseize?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
And then prior to Masks, if you keep going back...
The Phyrexian Processor, which is...
Which is from Ursa's Block.
Ursa's Block. Yep. And that's where it ends.
It doesn't go back to Tempest?
No. I think that's the...
Last card?
That's the last card. We set all the cards. So, yeah. So that's the set. I mean, we're going to get into Deck Talk, but I guess my main comment is I kind of wish there were more modern...
Just more excitement for modern.
Like, they've stated that they won't print... And
modern,
like
powerful models, powerful modern staples in standard anymore?
In standard anymore. So like beyond new ones. Like and I think, you know, the new set has a bunch of cool cards for it, but like there are definitely cards that could be using a reprint.
Right.
And at Turtle Masters had pretty much zero modern cards reprinted. And the only real one that was reprinted in any way was moved to rare.
Yep.
And then from the vault has Talaria West is the only modern playable legal card in the set.
So we'll just have to wait for next summer.
Well, we got a conspiracy. I got hope for conspiracy.
How sweet is it that we're already almost done with the summer? It means that we're like less than a year away from Modern Masters 17.
Like conspiracy spoilers start next week.
I was more just thinking Vegas next summer. How excited I am!
Oh. That's like a year from now.
That's like 10 months.
And we don't know for sure it'll be in Vegas. They might mix it up.
You think like throw it in like London or something?
I don't know. That'd be well, amazing. They do. They do three.
Yeah, they do
there's
three.
One Europe, one. So it'll be like London.
What if it was LA? No, Vegas is so fun. It would be. So, yeah. I really hope it's Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so. Deck Doctor time. So as we mentioned, if you donate to our Patreon, you get a deck submitted and we'll do a Deck Doctor on the episode. Yep. You know what's really funny? And I completely didn't realize this until after we already posted that we'll be doing a Deck Doctor episode.
What?
The Command Zone, our sister podcast, also doing their first Deck Doctor episode in over a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Bizarre.
So similar to the last time we kind of did the exact same things in the same week, we're doing it again.
Cool.
It's like we're not planning any of this. This just happens to happen.
This time's deck doctors are sweet. There's some really
good
ones.
So something I definitely made to pay attention to is the people that submitted decks, I looked at ones that are using the new cards from the new set.
Yep.
Which wasn't that hard because most people submitted something that was pretty cool.
Yep.
And you know, in general, we'll look at decks that are newer or something that didn't really exist before.
Right.
I got a few Grixis ones with Bedlam Reveler in it. I got a few like Aristocrat decks. Like there were a few decks that kind of already have been around for a while.
Yep.
And to some extent. So I really wanted to see something like that was doing something different. And the first of that is an Eldritch Evolution deck.
So I think this deck's really cool. I tweeted this morning about this. I like the list a lot. It's a lot of really good cards doing really good things. But there's a little bit for me of like lack of synergy. Like
everything is 2-for-1-ing.
Yeah, it's like it is kind of just like a Bant good stuff deck in a lot of ways.
Sure.
But it is doing cool things because you're using Eldritch Evolution and you're trying to power out emerge things and you get Distended Mindbender.
Yeah, so you have it's kind of taking advantage of both Eldritch Evolution and where is the card? Decimator, like two of the emerge cards, the tappy blue one and the green one that the Warthog one that is kind of like gives +2/+2 to all your
creatures. Decimator of the Provinces? Isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Another Decimate.
Yeah.
A lot of Decimating going on.
Yeah.
Decimator
of the Provinces is sweet.
Yeah. So, like, both these are really sweet cards. And, you know, it's playing Maul Drifters, which is really sick with, because for 5 mana, you draw 2 cards and tap all their creatures at instant speed. And then,
because
you can respond to the Evoke trigger.
Yep.
You know, you get Birds of Paradise, you get Noble Hierarch, it's playing Kitchen Finks. So, I'll go through Four Noble Hierarch and four Birds of Paradise. So eight ramp guys, obviously very good.
Right.
This is kind of like turn two Eldritch
evolution
into a four drop of the many varieties that are in here. But, you know, you'll go with three drop and you get like something like E-Witness to buy it back. But like there's definitely cool stuff you do there.
Well, you can't get Eldritch Evolution back because it exiles.
Does it?
Yeah. But and then with the mana creatures with the mana creatures, it's only plus two, so it turns a one drop into a three drop, right?
Yeah, you can get Reflector Mage, you can get there's some sweet cards in here that you definitely can grab it.
Well, so the chain is that if you turn one, because I've thought about this obviously with Eldritch Evolution. What's going to happen is like you play a mana creature on turn two, you can turn that mana creature with an evolution into, and in this deck it's Kitchen Finks is I think the primary target because
yeah, I mean you have Kitchen Finks, you have E-Witness. I mean, at that point, it's not a good idea to do E-Witness unless you like really need lands, I guess. You have Reflector Mage, which can be insane.
Yep.
And you have Flicker Wisp, which has different reasons to possibly be insane.
Yeah, Flicker Wisp is really good later. But you can also, like, if you wanted to, like, sack your mana creature into Eldritch Evolution, turn that into Finks, returning a mana creature, then replay the mana creature, it starts to set you up for a better turn with Merge later on.
Sure.
So I could see that happening.
So you got four Birds of Paradise, four Noble Hierarch. Then you go into three Kitchen Finks, which, you know, obviously a good card and great with Emerge cards. Great with Eldritch Evolution. Like,
yep.
Both cards it's really good with. Then you have three Muldrifter, which, you know, I doesn't see a lot of play in Modern normally, but this is the exact type of deck that is looking. So what Muldrifter is, it's a 5-mana 2/2 that when it enters the battlefield draws you two cards, but it has the ability Evoke, which we've talked about a few times on this podcast.
Yeah, well, Shriekmaw
is like the most common.
Shriekmaw and Muldrifter both saw play using Kolaghan's Command early on. That was like a thing you could do because you'd evoke one of them, and then the next turn you would be able to like kill something and get back your evoke creature.
Right, well, I guess my point is like Shriekmaw's seen play is a modern staple.
Yeah,
it's you know normally a one of or two of, but like most like Hikikor lists play one. Most.
Kiki Cord, what are you talking about?
Birthing Pod decks used to play it. Like it's been in decks for like a pretty consistent time.
Definitely.
So you know, just Muldrifter is that same effect where, you know, Shriekmaw is Doomblade, Muldrifter is Divination.
Yeah.
But on a creature, there's, you know, silly things you can do with it. One of them is sack it instantly to an instant speed Elder Deep Fiend.
Which is
Emerge,
awesome.
Which is just insane. Because you gotta next card, three. This is the one that's really interesting. It's playing three Tamiyo, which I know you're really high on.
Well, that was my big thing when I responded to the tweet about this deck, was I said, this seems like a lot of sweet cards. Bant will definitely be a thing. This list is like, look, I could just be dead wrong, because like you're not going to usually catch me as somebody who just plays a lot of good cards. I think that's pretty clear. And this deck isn't just doing that. It's obviously trying to do some much cooler things than that, but Tamiyo in here feels to me just like a good card.
I think everything else this deck is doing has a synergy to it to a certain extent. All the cards are great to sack to stuff that kind of bring back stuff or are good sacrificey things.
Yeah.
Where Tamiyo is literally just a really good Bant card.
Yeah. My one thing that I could see Tamiyo being a thing for is because you're playing eight mana creatures with her first ability, I could see that being decent. I realize that you would have to be targeting their creatures to deal damage and be blocking with your mana creatures light to turn them into cards, but you could still do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the other side of it is just with mana creatures, a turn three Tamiyo is just that much better.
Definitely. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like this. It could just be. I think Tamiyo is good enough that you will see that as a good stuff four drop in Modern. Yeah. Like, I think you're just going to start seeing that show up.
I mean, just this play of turn one Noble Hierarch, turn two Reflector Mage, turn three Tamiyo seems like an insane.
Yeah, seems nuts.
Like, how do you beat that?
I mean, why Reflector Mage on turn two?
Oh, it was the three drop.
You just mean Finks.
I catch a Finks. I mean, Reflector Mage is in the deck, but I mean, Reflector Mage is better at fighting proactive decks, I think, than Kitchen Finks is.
Yeah, and it sets up a later flick.
Like, it gets Infect. Like, it's better against decks that have Flyers, I guess, is more the point.
So let's just talk for a second. That if we were going to take out Tamiyo from this deck, what would you replace it with? Like, what's a better 4-drop?
Probably a little bit more of the 3-drop. Actually, for sure, maybe put in more copies of... wow, my brain is off. Didn't it? Convoke Tutor.
Oh, Court of Calling?
Court of Calling. I probably put two copies of Court of Calling and a couple copies of Wall of Roots. Yeah. Those, I think, are like, to really go deep on an Eldritch Evolution Bantech, like, right. those are cards that, and maybe put, even bring Tommy into the sideboard, because I think Tommy doesn't necessarily yeah. lose its place in the 75.
Do you think that Restoration Angel is nuts in this deck? Because I do.
I think Restoration
Angel could be the 4-drop. Yeah. Like, it's just...
I don't think you need all three. It's like playing 3 Maldrifters. I think Maldrifter yeah. is a cute 1-card play.
Yep.
Versus, like... maybe 2 Resto Angels,
yeah.
Wall, like 1 Wall of Roots. Even like if you're getting Resto Angel, getting Wall of Omens in here just to kind of be a thing that you sack Eldritch Evolution to.
Yeah, maybe.
Like sacking Eldritch Evolution, playing Wall of Omens on turn 2, playing Eldritch Evolution on turn 3 into a Thragtusk seems like one of the most insane things.
No, you still can't do that. You're adding too much.
Oh, 2 mana.
Yeah.
Oh, so a 4-drop.
Yeah.
Oh, into Restoration Angel, I guess.
Seems epic. I mean, that seems...
Well, but what you... I mean, Restoration Angel there isn't that good. That's... I guess the one problem is Restoration Angel is not the best with Eldritch Evolution, because you have to have an additional creature in play.
Well, that's my whole thing with this, is Eldritch Evolution is one of those things where, like, you want to... Basically, my whole feeling is with Eldritch Evolution is if you're going to play Eldritch Evolution, this deck's trying to do... That's where I see the problem. This deck is trying to do 2 different things. So, if you're going to play 8 1-drop mana creatures and 4 copies of Evolution... You want 3-drops to be... You want this deck to be stacked with 3-drops.
Yeah, I think this deck needs more 3-drops and a better 4-drop. It currently doesn't have a 4-drop.
Well, because... But here's my thing is I think you want stacked 3-drops and stacked 5-drops. Because you want to be able to turn your 3s into 5s with Evolution and sure. your 1s into 3s.
Well, it has 3 Kitchen Finks. So that's... Like, I think that's the point. And I think...
It only has 3 copies?
It only has 3.
Goes to 4 for sure.
Yeah. I definitely think there's the numbers game here. There's a lot of 3-ofs in this deck, and I think you can kind of consolidate a lot of, like, Maldrifter should be a 1-of. Thragtusk should be a 1-of. Baneslayer Angel is probably a card you could maybe even cut for the Resto Angel or 2.
Sure.
And then you go a little bit more deep on 4 Kitchen Finks. Get, like, the reason, like, the reason I keep bringing up Walru, it's, like, really good with this type of cards, and I do think this is the type of deck that would benefit from Convoke Tutor. Which you told
Court
me.
Of calling.
Court of Calling. Because, like, you have these birds, if you have all these creatures that are just going to be in play, and sometimes you'll be able to tutor for that 5-drop you need.
I like the Emerge stuff. What I've realized about the Emerge stuff is the Emerge stuff plays really, really well with the mana creatures, because it knocks 2. So the Emerge cost is usually 1 less than the actual cost, right? Is that how they're all designed? The hard cost, and then the Emerge is 1 less? Just to look in here because it's so small.
Yes.
Right?
At least for the 2 that this deck is currently playing.
So if you just figure like 8-drops, like if you're looking at an 8-drop, so now it becomes a 7-drop. And if it's 7-drop sacking a creature, then a mana creature reduces that by 2, which means you're looking at a 5-drop, really. If you have a mana creature, if you're casting it with a mana creature, it becomes a 5-drop.
At worst, it's a 5-drop.
Which, like, makes most
more
of those
insane things you can do.
Most of those at 5 are pretty bananas. Granted, 5 is not a good place in Modern, but I just think if you're gonna
one's
go
instant speed at 5, and the other is I win at 5.
Yeah, I think that if you're gonna go deep on, that's my whole point, is that if you're gonna go deep on Evolution here, I think you cut a lot of those like the middling Baneslayer Angel and Tameos and things like that. I think you go all in on the strategy of just maximizing those Evolutions, and if you do get a little heavier on 3-drops. You could maybe just throw in a couple copies of Company. I don't know if it would hurt to throw in a couple copies of Company.
Company's really bad in this deck.
Because of all the 1-drops?
No. Because of all the 5-drops and the 8 and 9-drops.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess I was just thinking if you go heavy on 3.
That's why I'm saying Court of Calling. Because Court of Calling is good always in this deck.
Yeah.
It's always going to be able to hit a target versus Collected Company. Like, I do not think actually an Eldritch Evolution deck and a Collected Company deck are the same deck.
No, they're not. That's yeah.
I think they're doing. Those are 2 different styles of play.
Yeah, because the best thing to do with Eldritch Evolution.
Someone's gonna prove me wrong and play all 8, and I'm just gonna.
Well, because the best thing to do with Eldritch Evolution is not sack Birds of Paradise into Kitchen Finks. I mean, it's not what you really want to be doing.
Sure.
If you're gonna try to like cheat out a 3-drop, then you want to Scab Ruinator or some like bananas thing like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of like on this list. A lot of these cards are really good. I think Tommy is a great sideboard card for this deck, for sure. It does a lot of cool things. And something to bring up is this sideboard itself. Oh, you know what card would be really cool as a 1-of in the main? Thalia, the new one.
Card's so sweet.
Have you played with that card?
No, but it's insane.
It's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's like, I am unhappy with myself for not having it on my top 10 list.
It was like my number 6 or 5.
I played it in like Vintage Cube against like Lotuses and like insane stuff. And I was like, oh, this card is just one of the best white cards I've ever played in a Vintage Cube in my life.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, your Spellqueller was on yours and it wasn't on mine.
even though I think that card's sweet.
Sure. That's another card that isn't terrible in this set. But,
no.
All right, so those are kind of a lot of the notes on this deck. And do you have any other comments?
No, I mean, I think this is definitely in the right direction. I would take advantage more heavily on looking exactly at the curve and like less in
shape. Oh, you know what card I think you want one of? Huh. Sorry, not to interrupt you. Is one Sun Titan.
Yeah, Sun Titan's epic.
Like instead of Baneslayer Angel, it should just be Sun Titan.
Because yeah, it's easy. Well,
it's comparable, but you get the ETB effect, and you want something that you can sack your Thrag Tusk to get to, and you just need a 4-drop. And we're talking about putting Resto Angelos in here.
Yeah,
and like the fact that all those 3-drops that you sacked earlier can get now brought back with Sun Titan.
Yeah,
plus the fetch lands. You know, like there's other random just good stuff you'll be able to do with it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's a lot of value to be.
Yeah, I'm into that.
This is maybe one of the coolest Sun Titan decks I've actually seen in.
Yeah.
In Modern. Sometimes. Plus, there's Thrag Tusk and you're sacking Maul Drifters.
And let's not forget that, like.
Plus, you can take. Is this an 8-drop? Please be an 8-drop. Please be really sick.
What, Sun Titan into that?
You can sack Sun Titan into Elder Deep Fiend, which you can then sack Elder Deep Fiend directly into Decimator of Provinces.
How can you sack Elder Deep Fiend directly into Decimator of Provinces?
Because it's an 8-drop into a 10-drop. Elder Deep Fiend is 8 naturally.
Got it.
Into
the next turn.
Into the like with it's not all at once. But my point is like if you can chain that card in any way,
right?
If you just keep drawing them or draw it late and you have a Sun Titan in play and you just want an insane thing to do,
I'm into that. Let's also not forget Sun Titan can get back fetch lands. Like it's just, like really
yeah. Sun Titan's like just really good. And this deck can cheat it into play. You have a lot of birds, so it's like you can probably just get it in as a 4 or 5-drop anyways. Yep. So like yeah. All right. Yep. Cool. That's our addition to that. All right. So that was actually, that deck was by Ben Jenkins. We should have said that name at the beginning.
Yeah.
So thanks, Ben Jenkins, for the list. It's super sweet. Thanks for donating to the Patreon. And now we're on to the next one.
Yeah. Let's do it.
There's going to be a little bit of a theme here. You know, we're going to emerge from the previous deck into this one. This is called Mind Twist with a Twist. It's by Jeff Roberts.
This deck's weird, but this deck is so my style. The fact that I like didn't come up with something like this already kind of blows my mind.
So this is another play on the classic Eldrazi list. And by classic, I mean the lists that have existed for the last 6 months.
Moving my mic and making
it plays, you know, 4 Eldrazi temples, 4 Thought Not Seer, 3 Reality Smasher, 4 Matter Reshaper. But it starts doing really cool things. It's playing
Lupine Prototype?
4 Lupine Prototype, 4 Matter Reshaper, 4 Palladium Mirror.
Yeah, it's a weird card in here.
Which I realize just bumps you up to 5. Like, you were talking how good Birds of Paradise is.
Yeah.
Like, in that sense, it's not insane. And then it goes crazy with 3 Distorted Mind Benders, which is the double...
Distended Mind Bender?
Distended Mind Bender. I can't read it. It's really small.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's so many cables covering me right now. and then 4 Elder Deep Fiends. So this is like very much all on board the Emerge theme.
You're missing the sweetest part of the whole deck.
So this is the card that Ben likes. And this is why it's called Mind Twist with a Twist. It's playing Tormented Thoughts, which is a card that you've never heard of.
Because it's like normally so bad.
What set is this originally from?
Is it like Born of the Gods, maybe?
Okay. No. What's that?
Journey to Nyx or something? One of the Theros sets, right?
Oh, no, it's from Magic Origins.
Really?
Yeah. So it's 1 black, 2 colorless. As an additional cost, sack a creature. Target player discards a number of cards equal to the sacrificed creature's power.
No. You're wrong. It's originally from Born of the Gods. It got reprinted in Origins.
Okay.
You asked what
set symbol.
You literally said, "What set is it originally from?" And I answered correctly, and you told me I was wrong.
Fair enough.
On the podcast.
I didn't bet anything on it. You still owe me $100, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so moving on. It also plays 4 Stubborn Denial, 1 All is Dust. You know, it's playing the 4 Eldrazi Temples, Ghost Quarters, Nephalia Academy, which is one of the new cards, which is if an opponent makes you discard, you can put it back on top of your deck.
But
what's really sick is you can turn 2 Lupine Prototype into either a turn 3 Tormented Thoughts.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Which is insane. Like, I mean, it's target player discards 5 cards and you discard
it's
2
cards. 2 for 5.
Yeah.
Cost 3 mana, but it's an additional cost, right? Additional cost?
Yeah. So you can't get wrecked. You get wrecked by Remand.
Yeah, totally wrecked.
Yeah.
Except you're only sacrificing, like, your stupid 5/5 for 2 that, like, doesn't really do anything.
You just get three for one.
What's the condition? What's the condition on prototype? Like, what do you need? You need like another creature or something.
Well, that's what's cool about it.
So it's 5/5 for two.
If any player has zero cards in hand.
Oh yeah.
Attack.
Yeah.
So the point is you're decimating your opponent's hand,
and then you can attack with the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is sweet. It's also,
or you have that into play and you sack Thought Not Seer for four, and they, you know, like, or yeah, you like Reality Smash. Like, there's like so many. So there's a lot of beef in this deck.
Right. There's also the fact that, like, if you do sacrifice Thought Not Seer, they'll draw a card, but, like, it's at the time you sacrifice, it's an additional cost. Mm-hmm. So they'll draw the card on the sacrifice and then have to discard the card probably off of the effect of the spell.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That's good. That's really good.
And,
that's sick.
And then,
like, Matter Reshaper gets rid of some of that bad, where, like, you draw a card now, so you're not, like, you're making them discard three cards and you possibly get a creature into play.
Matter Reshaper is one of my favorite cards in the whole deck with this card. Tormented Thoughts is sweet in this deck. This deck's, like, really fun.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect. I'm not hating on. The reason I picked this deck is because it's sick. And then there's always the good old-fashioned, and by good old-fashioned, I mean recently allowed.
Yeah.
Distended Mindbender trick of.
Yeah.
Double Thoughts on a 5/5.
Card is real, real.
And all this stuff is
good.
Cheaper because Eldrazi Temple, that old chestnut. I think one of my comments is this deck could probably go with one of the instead of 25 lands, have one of the mana rocks from Mirrodin Block that can tap for a blue or black or a colorless.
Talismans?
Yeah, the blue-black talisman.
Yeah.
Because, like, in this deck, you're blue-black. You're playing Stubborn Denial, and you're playing all these black cards and blue emerge costs. But that kind of lets you ramp while being a land, so it does a little bit of everything you kind of need to do, and it makes it so your draws are a little less land-dependent.
That last list we posted was the one that was playing the one-of copy of Thought Not Seer, right? So that because we were talking about the other day, turn two Thought Not Seer off of a temple and a mana creature?
It wasn't.
It wasn't?
No.
Really? Is that in this list? Why were we talking about that? That just came up in a conversation?
I don't know, we were just talking about it.
Oh, I thought we were looking at these lists. Maybe it came up somewhere else. But that's a cool thing that you can do. In this deck, maybe this deck wants to be playing one of those. I mean,
like a bug.
Oh, no, but it doesn't. You can't.
The other deck can't produce mana for this, and this doesn't have green mana.
Yeah, never mind.
I mean, that's a cool deck. I think there's a conversation to have about a green and black.
Just like a deck that is able to get Thought Not Seer on turn two in Modern.
Like green-black Eldrazi, I guess, is what it would be.
Something. I mean, that just seems good.
Yeah.
Like those Bird of Paradise and Hierarchs are good anyway. And
yeah, you just Eldritch Evolution in this stuff, which is like your beefy way of doing it. And then,
sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's kind of, I mean, beyond that, this deck has a lot of kind of classic battle moves we've seen. You Eldrazi Temple into a turn three Matter Reshaper, into a turn four Thought Not Seer, into a, you know.
Right. Turn two Matter Reshaper, right? Is it Matter Reshaper a three drop?
Yeah. I said turn two.
You said turn two. You said turn three.
I said turn three Thought Not Seer.
All right. We're both tired. I'll bet you $100.
Deal. You heard it on this podcast. Tweet at us to say who won. I'm up $200. Should bet more things when you're tired in general. All right. So, so that's kind of.
Yeah. Any changes you'd recommend on this deck?
I meant to bring the talisman in.
Yeah.
As one of them. I think that you want actually more. I think you want more Descended Mindbenders than Elder Deep Fiends. Also, if you're going to be playing the four Elder Deep Fiends, I really, really wish you were playing Shriekmaw.
Yeah.
Like a one of at least, so you can kind of just like do that thing. And that might be just because I want to sack a Shriekmaw in response to the evoke trigger for four mana. Like that sounds like an insane play in general. And that's kind of like, I think Palladium Mirror, which is, for those who don't know, because it's a draft card from Scars of Mirrodin, generally is a 3-mana mirror artifact creature for a 2/2 that can tap for 2 mana.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I can see why it is in the deck. It can kind of do cool things, like with Reality Smasher, just gets a Reality Smasher if you don't get your fourth land into play. But on the other hand, I think there's some cool, powerful things, and especially, like, interaction, so, like, some type of removal spell or some amount of, what's the bounce a creature, they lose a life?
Vapor Snag?
Yeah, some like Vapor Snags in here, I think, is another thing to kind of play.
Palladium Mirror is, it's not like scalable where you're like playing the whole Birds of Paradise into an Emerge creature trick. It's not the same thing because you're having to use a sorcery speed move on turn three to get that into play.
Sure. And the value on it is,
it's just not good.
Yeah.
It's just a 2/2 for three.
Dies the Lightning Bolt.
It's just like, it's just.
I mean, we talked about this story about like the reason Thalia wasn't on my list is like Lightning Bolt. a lightning bolt into a two drop is relatively fine.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt and losing a three drop is like kind of backbreaking.
Yeah. In modern, like turn three is always such an important turn.
Like you never want to lose two mana on a spell interaction is really what it comes down to. And that's why, you know, Abrupt Decay is fine against three drops and is great against four drops and doesn't do anything to four drops. But
right.
you're never losing more than a mana on Abrupt Decay, where Lightning Bolt, if you cast a spell that Lightning Bolt kills and it costs more than two mana,
yeah,
like you're so far behind because they get their Lightning Bolt and another spell.
Right.
Or on turn three, they snapcast their Lightning Bolt, a Lightning Bolt they bolted you with before. There's so much play there that like you need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that Thalia basically makes it so their lands don't matter anymore. So
yeah.
it's slightly better than that.
With all the Emerge cards, I want to see the deck that plays base blue with lots and lots of islands and plays Spire Golem.
I don't know what that is.
Spire Golem's that's the old Pauper card.
That means nothing to me. You want to actually know, that's the form. That's my like commander, your commander, where you've never played a game of it.
You don't know this card?
Oh, I know that card. It's a 2/4 flying affinity for islands.
Yeah, but it's great if you think about it with Emerge.
Sure.
Because you get to, it's a three drop.
It's also really good with Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah. It's epic with both.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so it's a three.
You have to be main blue, but.
It's a three drop that then.
Two Simic.
What?
Sorry, continue.
No, I mean, it's just not affinity for basic islands. It's just affinity for islands.
Yeah, I know, but you still need to play Eldritch Evolution after that. I mean, with Emerge cards, that's really sick.
It's good with Eldritch Evolution, too.
But I mean, even then, like, it's a three drop on turn three.
Yeah, so it's turn four, eight drop.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really just a turn four drop for two, I guess, is what it really is.
Or it's a seven drop on turn four with the one.
It is a 2/4, so I'll give you credit.
The 3/4 flyer that draws a card, the 3/4 flyer that draws a card with Emerge for seven.
Sure.
That's the one to play with. You curve into this, then the next turn you like attack.
And you play with Eldritch Defiend. I don't think you don't play with Eldritch Defiend.
Yeah, I think Spire Golem.
It's a cool mono blue Emerge Eldrazi deck.
Yeah, I think Spire Golem's like kind of like a thing. I think you could do something there. You could also. I don't think
that's this deck.
No, I just was like, that's a card that like I kept thinking would be awesome if
sure.
people were. Yeah, anyway.
Sure.
So.
What do you want to discuss your spirit list?
Oh yeah, this is exciting. Right. I haven't talked.
So wait, first off, thank you for. Oh no, it refreshed, so I lost the name.
Oh,
thank
gosh.
You for Jeff Roberts. I found it. Thanks, Jeff Roberts, for first off donating to the podcast.
Thank you so
much. Patreon, and then thank you for submitting your deck. It's really sweet. Really, like, I more wanted to focus on it because it looks really sweet. I don't have a ton of changes I directly make to this list. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the changes I'd make are mostly just cut this one card and add some sweet other cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really all about what this is cut some cards and add sweet cards.
Sweet.
All right. Let's hear about your spirit list.
I think this list is good. So, all right, here's the deal. Back in Standard years ago, back in like Dark Ascension Standard, like 4 years ago or something, there was like this epic spirits deck that got created, and it was like Lingering Souls and Drogskull Captains and Delvers and Mana Leaks, and it was really fun. It was cool.
It was like the precursor to the Delver list that kind of ruined that Standard format.
Yeah.
And like is the reason that Wizards will never reprint Ponder or Preordained Standard.
So years later, now they have pushed spirits again. And Drogskull Captain was a card that had been relegated into the depths of depravity because nobody could ever build with it, even though it was awesome with Lingering Souls. So Drogskull Captain, for those that don't remember, from Dark Ascension, it's one blue, one white, one colorless. Spirit, soldier, 2/2 flying. Other spirit creatures you control get +1/+1 and have hexproof. So
it doesn't have flash?
No.
Why did I always think of it? Oh, because what's it gives it flash.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Keep talking.
So that card's really good. Oddly enough, there's a standard deck with spirits that people are talking about, but I started with Nibbless of the Frost. That's the card that I thought was being underutilized that I think is really powerful, and I wanted to build around. So Nibbless of the Frost is a standard card from Shadows of Innistrad, right? It's not from Eldritch. It's... It's new? It just came out?
Yeah.
Nibbless of the Frost is a 4-drop, blue-blue, 2, spirit, flying, 3/3, prowess. When you cast an instant or sorcery spell, tap target creature and opponent controls. That creature doesn't untap during that controller's next untap step.
It's this little octopus thing.
Yeah, sorry. I'm tired. I get confused sometimes. This card's really...
I mean Emrakul.
Yeah. This card is really interesting to me for a couple reasons. In Standard, you have no free spells. You can't play this and then do something afterwards. Modern gives you the opportunity to play this and then resolve a free spell. to actually get interaction off of your 4-drop that when you play that spell becomes big enough to actually withstand a lightning bolt.
But Xerneas does have a significant amount of cards that are cheaper than they actually cast, which is interesting. I mean, definitely. That has nothing to do with this. It's just...
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of free.
So you can't really play 4-drops in Modern unless you're immediately getting value off of them, which this card still might be a little bit dicey. But a couple things came to mind, right? So Nibbles of the Frost curves really nicely after you play Drogskull Captain, because if you play it after a Drogskull Captain, all of a sudden it's a 4-4 flying hexproof, which means they have to kill your Drogskull Captain in response, or they have to kill this thing. And because the deck plays also 4 copies of Mutagenic Growth, which is that's like the clever spell you're playing, you can then respond with your Mutagenic Growth to protect your Drogskull Captain. This deck actually matches up remarkably well against Lightning Bolt because of the Mutagenic Growth. So the whole list goes like this. Mausoleum Wanderer, which is the 1-1 flyer for 1 blue. Whenever another spirit enters the battlefield under your control, Mausoleum Wanderer gets +1/+1 till end of turn, and then it has like a curse catcher ability, which is sacrifice it to counter target instant or sorcery spell unless its controller plays X, where X is Mausoleum Wanderer's power. Yet another card that is fine on its own, gets better with Lords, and if you have a Mutagenic Growth in hand, can be a total blowout because you can pay 2 life, make this thing into a 3-3, sack it, and blow out their attempt, which is fringe, and I wouldn't really want to promote doing that very often, but it's another reason why Mutagenic Growth is decent in the deck. Rattleshains, standard all-star right now, you're playing 4 of. Blue, colorless, flash, flying, 2-1, when it enters the battlefield.
If Spirits is good, it's a standard all-star.
It's like $6 right now. It's a rare. Like,
right, because everyone thinks Spirits is going to be a legit deck.
And you may cast Spirit spells as though they had Flash, which is really important. That makes a lot of the cards in this deck really good. Currently, I'm playing 2 copies of Selfless Spirit in the deck, which is another new spirit. Spirit Cleric, 1 white, 1 colorless, 2/1 flyer. Sacrifice Selfless Spirit. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. I like that card a lot. There's the old green-white elephant for green-white colorless for a 3-3 did the same thing. Obviously, 2 is better than 3. That card is going to be just generally good in Magic. It's not, that card doesn't have to just be in a Spirits deck. I think like in the future, that's just going to be a creature deck card. Like it's just a 2/1 flyer for 2 that like has an ability to protect you from a sweeper. It's really good.
The everything's indestructible. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have 2 copies of
this over the weekend because of standard too.
Yeah. And I have 2 copies of Spell Queller in the deck, which is $15 in standard right now at rare. Card's like that's like the shit.
Well, what's
interesting
about this deck in standard is that other than Spell Queller and one other card, and I forget what it is off the top of my head, the deck is like extremely inexpensive.
It was all rares.
But all the rares are like $1 each, like $1 to $3.
They've all gone up, every one of them.
Yeah, but it's still compared to what standard can normally cost, it's still a pretty inexpensive deck.
Yeah, it just sucks.
Like they're all so
like
so
Wander,
singleton.
Like Wanderer is $4 now, Rattlechains is $6 now, Spirit is $6 now. Like it's all going up.
Sure.
Spell Queller, and then you get to the spells. You have 4 copies of Mutagenic Growth, 3 copies of Path to Exile, 1 copy of Gutshot, 2 copies of Inquisition of Kozilek, 2 copies of Thoughtseize, 4 copies of Lingering Souls, which is probably the most important card in the entire deck because it doubles as a creature and a spell to trigger your spell count on your Nibbles of the Frost, and also just like makes it so playing a Lord is great. And then my one-of card that I'm testing out right now is a single copy of Cackling Counterpart, which is an Innistrad rare that most people don't remember exists. It is blue-blue and a colorless for an instant. Put a token on the battlefield that's a copy of target creature you control. And it has flashback for 7 for blue-blue 5. Cackling Counterpart is usually bad. It allows you to be blown out. I have tried it in various decks over the years. I like it a lot in this deck for a few reasons. Drogskull Captain is one of the most ideal targets for it. If your captain gets targeted, it allows you to make another one, which then gives your first one hexproof. Rattlechains, because it gives another spirit hexproof, is another great target to make something else hexproof. Even Spell Queller. It turns spell like it. I think it just doubles nicely as a very, very utilitarian spell with the nature of most of the creatures in the deck.
I mean, Spell Squall is really good.
Yeah, I'm just saying the single counterpart like doesn't feel bad to me. This deck is set up pretty nicely to like have disruption, hand disruption, spell quellers.
Well, you're playing like Romance in there, right? Or no?
No.
No Romance?
No. I tried to make almost all of the interaction creature based. Like you have the Inquisitions and Thoughtseizes, and almost everything else is,
because so much of your deck is instant speed though, right? Or only 4 cards?
Kind of like half of it, okay. but then Rattlechains makes the rest of it. I mean, you get interaction out of Mausoleum Wanderer, you get interaction out of Selfless Spirit, out of Spell Queller, Nibbles of the Frost. And then you're playing your basic suite of Esper lands, the only lands in here that I think are like, I put one copy of Moorland Haunt in here just because it makes spirits. It's fine.
The blue white spirit land?
Yeah, the one.
Oh, I think that's good in your deck.
Yeah.
Imagine any of the cards that trigger off of spirits, ETBs, and just like,
yeah, no,
you like in response countering their spell, like with their, like adding enough to counter the spell. I think that's really good.
Yeah, seems good. I mean, there's a couple cool things in here that like people may not realize, which is that like the curve of getting Mausoleum Wanderer on the table and then just like casting Lingering Souls, getting two spirits on the table at once, pumps your Wanderer to a 3/3, makes it that otherwise like decent card into like a, that's like,
yeah, a flying 1/1 on basically a flying one drop that is a 2/2,
yeah,
on turn two, a 3/3 on turn three.
Doesn't put a counter.
I know, just but you play any spirit on turn two, it's a 2/2.
Oh, yeah.
On next turn, you play Lingering Souls, it's a 3/3.
Yep. Or a Drogskull Captain.
Or a Drogskull Captain, it's a 3/3.
Makes it a 3/3, yeah.
And then from that point on, you have a bunch of two drops that you can play. Like, it's still going to be good.
Yeah.
And like, and you have mutagenic growth, the pump it, if you need blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I like this list. I think you're doing cool things. I mean, I'm not convinced you're top end guy.
The four drop
and all of the like free spells for that four drop is
the correct direction. Yeah,
is the correct direction. But I definitely think the base spirit shell,
yeah,
is strong enough, and then finding exactly what you want to do with it to make it good is an interesting place to try and be.
To me, the thing with Niblis of the Frost, and the real reason I wanted to try this deck, was because I think it's being under recognized that like the ability to have a 3/3 flyer for four that becomes a 4/4 when you cast any spell.
Is that, Calm Me a Spirit?
Which one? Yeah, all the Calm Your Spirits. Niblis of the Frost.
Very blue things are countered if you target your spells.
Oh, Kira.
Kira a spirit.
Yeah, it is.
I'm saying that card's real good.
Yeah.
A spirit.
Yeah, Kira could be good.
How does a deck beat Kira with what's his face in play?
Drogskull Captain?
Drogskull Captain.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, Kira is really good. The deck's heavy on threes already. Kira's not better in this deck than Drogskull Captain.
I think it's better than
Lingering Souls?
No, the four-drop spirit guy you have.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it's only a 2/2 flyer. So keep in mind that the four-drop is a 3/3 that's prowess. So, like, if you flashback Lingering Souls...
But all your other spells will kill them. This just makes it so they don't kill your other things.
I'm just saying, man.
Like, you're working really hard to fight Lightning Bolt when you could just play Kira.
You're not just doing that. One spell makes this a 4/4, and your one spell taps down maybe their only blocker, which means you're swinging with a 4/4 flyer most of the time when you have that in play, or a 5/5 some turns. That's powerful. Kira's good. Kira's really good. Don't get me wrong. I could see one or two Kiras in the deck. I just don't think that card is
definitely a sideboard card. I mean, hands down, it should be in your sideboard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some other really interesting cards that are...
You're playing Cavernous Souls.
Probably.
You should be playing Cavernous Souls.
Yeah, I forgot to put it in.
It's fine. Because you forget it's a travel deck. But if you're playing that, like, Kira's just really good in your deck. Every spirit you could kind of get away with.
Other spirits for the sideboard that are interesting. Kataki War's Wage is a spirit.
That's a 3-1.
Spirit of the Labyrinth.
People can't draw extra cards.
Spirit of the Labyrinth. Yeah, that card's
I think is really good right now.
Yeah.
Because Bedlam Reveler is going to be seeing play.
Yeah.
There's Ancestral Visions gets just wrecked by that card.
What's nice about this
Jace
list, too.
Is worse. Like, all these cool cards that are...
Well, what's nice about this list, too, is that you have a couple of these sort of utility spirits. So, like, the Selfless Spirit, for instance, is one that's really going to be good against decks that side in sweepers or have sweepers main deck. If they don't, and you're playing against some sort of, like, a stormy deck or the kind of thing that's trying to cycle through a lot of spells, just subbing it out for Spirit of the Labyrinth in the same slot seems like a totally fine plan. I can see playing, like, two or three of those in the sideboard. You also have Geist, which is, like, a really interesting spirit in the sideboard.
Yep.
And then if you wanted to get really clever... And just go beatdown plan.
Which Geist?
What?
Is it Saintraft?
Yeah.
Is it that Geist? Because really isn't the whole deck a bunch of Geists.
One deck that I like attempt, or one card that I attempted to put a one of in as a different four drop was Thunderclap Wyvern. Just because
flying creatures get as flash though.
Yeah.
I see that being pretty sick.
It's a 2/3 flyer for blue, white, two. Other creatures you control flying at +1/+1. I mean, you can try Favorable Winds. Like, that's just like that's a flying anthem for two.
No, I think that's better.
But I think Thunderclap Wyvern's better because it has like the combat trick effect. But it is a four drop, so you would really need to like sub it for the other four drop.
I think you maybe play that as a one of if you move more towards a four Cryptic Command, four Remand. All your spells have kind of some amount of flash or come in early, so you can just hold Counter Magic up the whole time. I think that's that deck exists in this. That there's a version of Spirits that's like it's basically what fairies used to be.
Exactly, but I think the problem with
Spirits are a little better than fairies?
I think if you're going to go with that version, then I think actually fairies is better because it's set up that way. There's too many cards in the spirits deck that if you're going to try to go that version, like, won't do what you want to do. For instance, like...
Lingering Souls.
Lingering Souls doesn't really do what you want to do. Drog Skull Captain doesn't do what you want to do. Selfless Spirit doesn't do what you want to do. You have to have a Rattle Chains in play to get there. Okay. And this just... You want to be consistent.
I guess more of the point, even beyond what I was kind of saying, is this deck, whatever list you go to, can go... Because, like, part of the problem is fairies that does that against some decks is very good. Like, playing the I play everything at the end of your turn and you're never going to cast a spell again game plan is decent. But there are some decks that just is awful. So this can very easily, with a few transformable sideboard cards, you put a few instant speeds sideboard cards in here.
Yeah.
And take out some of your sorcery, like, top-end stuff.
Yep.
This deck very quickly becomes I'm not going to untap. I'm not going to tap out until you're done with your turn.
Right.
And, like, that... Just the ability to transfer into that type of play style, even if that's not what you're doing game ones, is very strong.
Totally.
Like, throw it, yeah, like, just play some Cryptic Events. Or, like, yeah, there's I like this deck.
I want to test it.
I think you could also get away with a little bit of a, what's the card that's really good that I said wasn't good and I was wrong on the top 10 episode? I didn't say it wasn't good. I said that.
Dahlia?
No. It's a 4-drop instant speed. I'm tired. Search for 4 cards. You have to be different cards. They go, 2 go to the graveyard, 2 go in your hand.
That card? You like that card.
Gifts Ungiven.
Oh, Gifts. Oh, got it. You were saying the
I
other
love
ones.
Gifts.
Yeah.
And I wasn't saying the other one's better as Gifts. I was saying that the better version of it is better than Gifts.
Fortune's Favor.
Well, that's the new one.
Right.
What's the original one?
Oh, Fact or Fiction.
I was saying Fact or Fiction is better than Gifts, which I will stand by.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But I mean, Gifts Ungiven... In this deck, if you're going a little bit more with an Elishnorn reanimated
package? Gifts is more powerful. But Factor Efficient is a really good draw spell. This card or this deck is good with Gifts, even if you don't have Elishnorn.
The point of this is I'm saying this deck would be sweet with Gifts in it.
Yeah, because Lingering Souls is
having
fun.
Just like an Elishnorn and an Umbrella Rites in your sideboard of just like getting there is like sick.
Yeah, because I think like... Lingering Souls is a good thing to search for. One single copy of Drog Skull Captain is a good thing to search for. You can get like one Path to Exile if you need it.
I think you get like Kira, Drog Skull Captain, Lingering Souls, and just like say like your removal is going to do nothing here.
You're just convinced basically that it's Kira. It's not the 4-drop. You just think the 4-drop's bad.
Yes.
I want it.
Aren't you the one that states that 4-drops are bad?
Look, I want to test it, okay? It seemed inventive to me because I normally hate 4.
I'm all about... I literally just redid my Geist deck to include 4 copies of Hanarel Battlements and 4 copies of the land that transforms it into a 7-5.
It's really
good against Eldrazi decks and terrible everywhere else.
You know for a fact that I hate 4-drops, which is why it was interesting that I wanted to try it out. Let's keep going. Do you have a deck you want to try out?
No, that's it. We're done with the episode.
We're done with the episode?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
We have no more time. We're at like we're definitely at like an hour.
All right. Fair enough.
Like we could do my black red vampire. There's a black red vampire list that I'm working on. It's sweet. Tweet me out.
Tweet him if you want to hear about it. So yeah, guys, that does it. Thanks for sticking with us, checking in, listening to the episode. We will be transitioning to some very cool new stuff very soon. We're working on a whole video production setup right now, which is exciting. We'll have some more information on that soon. Of course, once again, go check out the playmat. There are 17 or 16 of them for sale.
There'll be a link in the description to the website.
Yep. And
you can find the playmat on that website.
That is dmtwclothing.com. You'll find that one product. There's going to be a whole entire product line over the next several months that we'll be releasing, as well as some more announcements of collaborations with DMTW. But I just once more would like to stress that we are partnering with them as our official merch providers. We're going to be doing merch with DMTW going forward, and this is the first product that is available. We will not be signing and numbering the rest of them. This is essentially the first edition, first run. So if you do want one, there's only going to be 16 or something for sale. They're going to, I think, go pretty quick.
Yep.
If they don't go pretty quick, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, fair enough. And then make sure to check out the Command Zone this week. They're also doing a Deck Doctor episode. It's going to be really sweet. Jimmy and Josh do great stuff every week. Make sure to check out... we have an Instagram, we have a Facebook, we have a YouTube channel. YouTube channel is really important. Our buddy Mike Clary has been helping us making videos every week of the different episodes. Last week's episode got released yesterday, so technically today as we're recording, but you're yesterday, people listening to this podcast. So you can kind of see there, you get to actually see what the card art looks like. So if you want to be a little bit more visual and know if we sometimes gloss over what cards do and you kind of want to be a little bit less lost, it's a great place to kind of have that version of the podcast. Thanks for listening, guys.
Sweet.
Is there anything you want to talk about that's unrelated to Magic the Gathering?
I'm just tired.
Have you watched Stranger Things?
No, but my girlfriend, Roxy Stryer, is one of the hosts on Netflix's official after show for it.
Oh.
Yeah, Netflix
that's really cool.
Netflix has an actual YouTube channel after show that they're doing.
For Stranger Things. Oh, actually, I shared, I think, a advertisement for them on Facebook where it's a video, but it has like a hand reaching out of the computer and it looks like it's part of the face. It's cool.
Yeah.
Really good job.
I've heard it's really good.
That show is maybe one of the, like, you know how hyped I am about this Pokemon Go thing that's going on?
Yeah.
I'm more hyped on Stranger Things.
Yeah, I really need to watch it.
Like, all of the bad things are happening in the world. Without Stranger Things and Pokemon Go, I'd be a little bit more of a depressed human being.
Shell of a
human being. Yeah.
Sweet.
So go watch Stranger Things. It's all of the good things. We'll talk how that'll be once you watch it. We'll talk about that on the episode.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.